IDP. I'll give you a copy of the memorandum for IDP to go and look into this and come back to this committee to come and report on their findings. Because IDP, you have a responsibility to the communities. And campaigning for individuals, an individual that I will not name in this meeting because it's an allegation, it's not your responsibility as IDT. And if IDT don't deal with this matter, you will be compromising your integrity as an agency. They are here, and I made a promise that I will table it here, and they are not going to participate. They are just listeners, and so that they can be satisfied that this has been tabled in Parliament and it will be looked into. I think we need to agree that there are also outstanding issues with IDT that need to be attended to. One, a report on the MAT schools and the working relations of IDT with the Eastern Cape Provincial Department of Education. Two, a report on each of the client departments that are not paying timely. Three, a presentation is still outstanding on the recapitalization of IDT and the rescheduling of the IDT. Four, remuneration of board members and the salaries of the executives. Those are outstanding issues that IDT, you were cautioned about, that you must come back to this committee and report on what you are doing on these four issues. Without any waste of time, I would like to ask IDT to make their presentation. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes,
We would like to thank the opportunity that you have given to us to make our presentation. Before I even go any further, Honorable Chair, just on the four matters that the Chair has mentioned, plus the allegation that the Chair is requesting us to investigate and come back, I would like to get clarity from the Honorable Chair as to would we be given a date to deal with those matters, and would definitely appreciate that so that we can deal with them the soonest, Chair, and you know, conclude particularly the allegation matter so that we can bring comfort to the Honorable Committee members.
Thank you, Mama. I will give you a date, and we'll also request the forensic investigation that was done in Maninbeck, because in the memorandum they also raised the issue of forensic investigation by PricewaterhouseCoopers. We would also like to get a copy of that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We would like to thank, as indicated, to the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members, that we do appreciate the opportunity given to us as the IDT to come and present this morning our corporate plan for the years, as indicated, 2011-12 to 2013-14. I'm not sure whether the Chair would indulge me to introduce the team that we have. Particularly this morning, Chair, I took the indulgence, if the House would allow, that I invited board members, because this is our plan. This is a plan that the board is responsible for, that they should be here this morning to be able to be part of this presentation and discussion and hear the concerns that may be raised by the Honorable House. So we had the opportunity of introducing some of the members when the Chair was earlier before the meeting started, but board members are the ones seated straight next to me. Next to me is the Deputy Chairman of the Board, Dr. Mvuyo Tom, and next to him is Feroz Patel, who is also a member representing the Department of Education, although he's now in higher education. Next to him is Mrs. Zandile Mdladla, also a trustee of the IDT. I'm skipping Ian for this morning, who is a CFO. And then next to Ian is Mr. Kwezi Tia, who is also a trustee of the IDT. And then right almost there, waving his hand, is an external member of the board, external in the sense that he's part of the Finance and Audit Committee, are providing the necessary support and advice from a, also a governance point of view. So they are here not to fill up chairs, but to, you know, also it's a sign of taking responsibility of the document that we are presenting this morning. Honorable members and honorable chair, I'm going straight into the first slide of the presentation, and I am confirming this morning the fact that in terms of Section 55, Subsection 1 and Subsection B of the Constitution, the National Assembly has provided mechanisms to effect oversight amongst the different organs of state. Hence, this morning, the 2011-12, 2013-14 corporate plan of the IDT is being presented in respect of the committee's oversight responsibility, and we are enabling the Honorable Committee the opportunity to recommend this corporate plan of the IDT to Parliament. The Honorable Chair has mentioned some of the hiccups that we have had, but we thought also, just for emphasis, perhaps to indicate the fact that we are bringing to the attention of the Honorable Committee and members, as well as the Chair, the fact that this plan was lodged as requested, as per the corporate plan that we have and the shareholder compact, that we had to lodge it with the Ministry, the Department of Public Works, and National Treasury on the 28th of February 2011. And we were given an opportunity to present the same plan, which was done on the 14th of March, to the Minister, who is our executive authority. And then the Honorable Chair has indicated that the fact that the written approval of that particular report, as well as the sign-off of the shareholder compact, could only happen this Monday. So once again, let me also indicate to the Chair and the Honorable Members that it wasn't lack of trying on our side, it wasn't disrespect to the Honorable Committee and members, but it was circumstances beyond the control of the IDT. Therefore, this morning we are here to present our plan, and I would therefore request our Chief Executive Officer, who is leading the administration of the IDT, to take us through the plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board. Thank you, Chair of the Committee. Honorable members, good morning. Let me start by again introducing myself. My name is Thembi Nwetamotsu. My chairperson has already introduced the trustees that are here today. Let me take the opportunity to introduce the executives that are accompanying myself. On my left is Professor Edith Fries. Behind me is Mr. Wakaba, who is responsible for operations. Professor Edith Fries is the executive in my office. I am with Mr. Vukani Mtinto, who is also an executive, and Mr. Ian Ellis, who is the CFO. Together with that, we are with SysGovs and Popo Maja and Kanyisa, which is our technical support. I hope I've not omitted anyone from the operational staff. Honorable members, firstly, just to congratulate our political champion and the nation at large and our democracy for the successful local government elections that we have just had. I think it would be appropriate, whilst the chairperson has already indicated that we will be given a date to come back and account on the outstanding issues, just to indicate that the Independent Development Trust did not fund Manenberg in this financial year. We finished with the funding of Manenberg in the last financial year after the audit that has been requested. But we will finish the committee with a report and the forensic audit that we did in the previous financial year before we terminated the funding that we were advancing to the respective organizations. the content of our presentation, honorable members. The first part, we will be talking to the executive summary, where we will try and summarize the whole strategic focus of the organization. Part B will be looking into the strategic overview. Part C, it will be the strategy itself, and we will also be able to link to other plans and the appendices. In the process of preparing, we also broke down our report. You will see that in the appendices to the business plan for the current year, and as well as the various quarters and the targets that we have put through in those various quarters. So as I do the presentation, we'll also be hyperlinking to those other slides to further give information. The executive summary, honorable members, you will find it on the bounded documents from page 9 to page 12. Although my chairperson has already indicated the undertaking that we are presenting this threat plan, I think it's important for us to indicate the processes that we undertake before we come up with this threat plan. Honorable members, we undertake a robust review of the environment. We try to consider the significance and implications that enable us to make the strategic choices. This we do with the guidance and the leadership of our board during the year before we finalize the planning process. Our mandate is grounded in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the MTSF, which provided the parameters for the IDT's strategic choices in terms of its strategic goals, objectives, and the application of public resources which we are entrusted. Our strategic focus reflects a shift in focus from primarily a physical infrastructure delivery implementer to facilitation of sustainable development towards being a world-class community development agency. We will be elaborating more on some of the statements that I'm putting forward here, but I am emphasizing on it because that is what grounds what we will be presenting to you today. A key consideration is the resources that are available for us to deliver on our mandate. The corporate plan takes account, therefore, of the relevant frameworks and the protocols of government. We also thought it would be important that we give a bit of a background in terms of the IDT, that the IDT is a trust, it is a development agency, and it was established in 1990 through a $2 billion endowment from the from government. It is governed by its deed of trust and the relevant legislative framework. It is a Schedule 2 public entity that was promulgated with the PFMA in 1999 to support government with the eradication of poverty. You will see over the life of the IDT in the 20 years of our lifespan that as we have been evolving, we've actually been corresponding with the shifts in the national development agenda. And these are the things that we undertake in each of the environmental scans that we do. We're also mentioning that we have a cross-cutting mandate. We deliver throughout all the spheres of government and throughout all the different departments. We do report to the Minister of Public Works as our executive authority. Our vision is to be a leading knowledge-based development agency, and our mission is that the IDT, together with strategic partners, will enable poor communities to recognize and unleash their potential for sustainable development. This is a very important statement for us because that is where we really derive our strategic focus and the objectives of the organization. I think it would be proper for us to also go through the core values and the operating principles of the organization. And I'm doing this, honorable members, because you would see that throughout the process of implementation, these are the fundamentals that guide the way that we do business as an organization. When we talk about people-centeredness, we talk about the improvement of the lives of people. We talk about working together as a team internally within the IDT, that we put people first, and that we are focused on our stakeholders. In terms of integrity, we are open and honest in all our communications. We believe in the integrity of our data and our reports. We treat one another with dignity and respect, and we conduct our business in a lawful manner. In terms of professionalism, we approach work in a systematic manner. Our service is of good practice. We deliver quality results. from an accountability point of view, we have responsibility to communities, stakeholders, and one another for our actions. We are accountable to our clients, stakeholders, and one another for our actions. From a visionary point of view, we approach our work in a creative manner. Our solutions are innovative, and we have direct impact. This, for us, is very, very important, because this is how we measure ourselves. This is how we try to determine the culture of the organization, and these are the principles that guide each and every staff member of the Independent Development Trust. From page 16 to page 21, honorable members, you will see the environmental analysis that I have spoken to, that we do utilize a PESTEL system in analyzing and examining the political, economic, social, technological, legal, and policy perspective strategy within this macro environment. From a political point of view, we are confident in our analysis that South Africa does enjoy political stability, as evidenced by the 77% voter participation in the fourth national democratic election. The 2010 medium-term budget policy statement set out the key spending priorities, which is improving the quality of basic education, enhancing the health of our people, making our communities safer, fostering rural development, creating jobs, and investing in local government and human settlements. These are the policy statements that honorable members are aware of, and we unpack this, and it guides us in the process of determining what are the deliverables and priorities that we are going to be focusing on this current MTF period. If I would continue from page, 16 to 21, economically, we looked into the new policy regime and the instruments that were introduced after 1994, which definitely have yielded outcomes such as the macroeconomic stability contribution to unprecedented sustained economic growth. Socially, we are acknowledging that poverty in both urban and rural areas has proven to be quite stubborn, with many citizens having not benefited from the social policy reforms and programs, such as the delivery of basic services. Technologically, we are saying that South Africa has made strides in terms of the communication sector. And legally as well, the Constitution remains the supreme law of the Republic of South Africa, and the PSMA, the cornerstone of the management of state funds. From page 21 to 24 of the bound document, we are indicating that in 2007, the organization commissioned a study to review 310 listed public entities that deliver services or that are funded at national, provincial, and local level. The study revealed that technically the development gap in South Africa is fully funded. I'm sure honorable members would also agree on this, because these are some of the things that we always discuss about the funding of the development gap. But we also realize that a cross-cutting mechanism is needed at community level to holistically address community aspirations and leverage those community assets. So whilst we acknowledge that there is budget that has been allocated towards the development gap, we think in our analysis that the critique is that there is no mechanism that really pulls those resources and redistributes those resources to the communities that we serve. We also conduct a SWOT analysis, and honorable members will find that from page 24 to 25, which looks into the strengths, the weaknesses, and the opportunities within the organization. This once more enables us to tighten our operational plans within the units and as well as the performance agreements. And there is a table that we could hyperlink if required to look into that work in detail. The strategy of the organization, you will find, honorable members, in page 25 to page 28, where we will be having the strategic goals. We are starting with the strategy and saying that the government's program of action has a strong emphasis on people-centeredness, sustainable development, rural development, social cohesion, and poverty eradication. The IDT approach is therefore anchored in the delivery of social infrastructure as redefined. And probably just to give a bit of a context, as we were going through the development of our strategy, we realized that it is very important to be more comprehensive when we talk about social infrastructure. Actually, we started asking ourselves, what exactly are we referring to when we talk about social infrastructure? Are we just talking about the brick and mortar, or we're talking holistically about the structures that are also in the communities? We then came up with a redefinition in as far as that is concerned. And we said that for us, social infrastructure entails not only the brick and mortar, but also the ability to make the communities that we interact with to be ready to accept development, to participate in development, and also to be able to sustain that development. And therefore, that will include the institutional capacity building of the communities and the forums that we work with. When we look into the strategic goals, we articulate the IDT's responsibilities in promoting sustainable development in the poor and marginalized areas in the country as an effective and efficient organization, and we are further tabling that on Table 5 of the hyperlink, which we would could highlight if required. The key performance indicators is on Table 6, and this is derived from the measures by which the organization's success and indicators will be tabled up. And we also, as I have said earlier, we've tried to split that into the various quarters, and we will be able to go into that. The next page, honorable members, outlines the strategic goals that have been determined. The first being the sustainable development, and the statement is that it's the implementation of targeted and people-centered interventions for sustainable development in marginalized and impoverished communities. Our strategic objective is the empowered communities, and second is the integrated social infrastructure. The objective statement is to build empowered and cohesive communities through the delivery of integrated social infrastructure with particular emphasis on rural areas. The second one is the effective delivery of integrated developmental and social infrastructure in marginalized communities. We've also put the budget next to that, but we will get into the details of discussing the budget when my CFO will support me in taking the committee through that. The second one is the effective and efficient administration, and that is to ensure that the IDT is an efficient and effective and compliant public entity and development agency. Our strategic objective is effective, efficient, and compliant administration, and as well as the transformed IDT. Our objective statement is to ensure excellence in delivery, and secondly, to plan and implement the transition of the IDT from the current state to a transformed ideal state. The detailed plans to that effect could also be put forward as required by the committee. In terms of our service delivery model, we also thought it would be critical that we outline our service delivery model so that the targets that we have put up are also read in conjunction with the how part of our strategy. I'm saying that the IDT, a key vehicle for advancing the key priorities of government by implementing programs for departments across all spheres of government, spends in excess of $2 billion per annum in development programs. As we come back during the year to present our performance report, honorable members will be able to look into that, which we have achieved once more in this current financial year. Its work is commissioned through concluded program implementation agreements with client departments and interventions, e.g. the nature, location, and the deliverables are determined by the relevant departments that give us their portfolio to deliver. Therefore, it is at the client's discretion to tell us where we are going to build a school, for instance, or where we will build a clinic, and how that clinic will be built, the size of that school. All that is determined by the client when they commission us to do the PIA. We partially recover our operating costs. It's between 3.5% to 5% for infrastructure programs. Maybe just to indicate that this is not an old trend as an organization. It's actually a new trend whereby if you look back into the 2010-30 strategy, our board determined that we have to recover costs, particularly the cost of program management, with the shift towards the IDT focusing more on community development rather than the brick and mortar. We incorporate a government strategic imperative in our programming, such as job creation, economic empowerment, skills development, etc. I've already outlined the MTSF principles, which governs our process as we work through to develop our strategic plan. We act as a program management support, as against the role played by built environment consultant. In other words, we are more comprehensive in our approach. We don't just look into putting up the brick and mortar, but we also look into the social elements, like, for instance, the baselining of those communities, determining the target, the poverty levels of those communities, as I had said, in terms of our redefinition, enabling those communities to accept that development, to participate in that development, and to sustain that development. And I think this is what is core in determining the IDT's difference with the other role players in the same field. Currently, we are pursuing the transformation, aiming at, inter alia, at reviewing our mandate. The chairperson has already indicated that we'll have to come back and do that presentation, the legal framework and the funding model, to focus more on sharply on community development rather than service delivery support. Our strategic enabler, we think that at IDT we have got empowered employee culture. IDT employees are generally free to take decisions and to apply discretion where required. Hence, we think we've got a much more faster decision-making process. We think we are quite stable, and we have a strong leadership. The stability at boards and senior management has enabled incremental growth, institutional building, and sustained organizational performance over the past 7 years. We do believe that we have got a good relationship with the executive authority, and this has helped to improve relations with the public works family, and thus contributed to safeguarding organizational sustainability. This part of the evidence to that is that we have actually started implementing the National Public Works Programs currently. We have got automated processes and delivery reporting systems, payment process, and the program reporting dashboard systems, which have improved the organizational performance. Our ability to adjust new portfolio demands, the review of processes for automated into seamless integrated system, our vendor management system, our contract management system, our contract system, our management fee billing and collection services, costing and pricing, all these are some of the systems that we have improved to increase the level of our efficiency. We have got a very strong governance culture, and institutional mechanism and practices regulating the planning, performance management, reporting, and the interface to protect our organizational integrity. I think honorable members would know what we are referring to here. Our major inhibitors is the organizational insecurity, the lack of protected mandates, which creates insecurity and undermines our institutional building, as more focus is placed on pleasing potential clientele and influential stakeholders at the expense of the former. And as the chairperson has said, we will come back and do the presentation on the business case to really try and arrest some of those issues and create more focus towards the work that we are supposed to do. There is a complex and conflicted clientele interest. This often results in misunderstandings and investment by the IDT in non-fruit-bearing activities. Because as we continuously put off fires, sometimes we don't even know which are the fires that we are putting off, and it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort from the organization, and as well as a lot of resources. Lack of timeliness and integrated planning by clients. This often results in adverse program funding protocols, late start of projects, and tensions between the IDT and clients. There are quite a number of projects where this has happened, and you find that in the process of that, quite often the reference to say the IDT has not, when actually in some instances we only started delivering on those programs in December instead of April, as per what is determined by the statute. The client budget deficits often leads to service provider non-payments, it leads to litigation, it leads to work stoppages, it leads to community unhappiness and bad reputation for the IDT. And part of what the chairperson of the committee had said we must come back and account on is as a result of these incidences. Conflict between the public policy planning cycles and the pace of community-based development. Unlike targets that are primarily reliant on technical inputs, e.g. the number of houses, the electricity connections, community-based targets, or community development plans, that type of social engagement is not event-based, it is very process-based. And unfortunately, honorable members, you cannot necessarily be able to determine that by the end of this quarter, in 3 months, that community will be empowered. They would have acquired skills. You are determined by the pace of the community itself. That is why you would find that in most of our delivery processes, because we cannot be able to tangibly say there is a house, would only be able to measure it over time, you find that it overlaps over the quarters. We just thought that this is very important to indicate because, as I have said, we have subdivided our targets and our indicators on a quarterly basis, and therefore you would find that there is a contradiction when we come back to yourself to report, because some of those elements are not determined, are out of the control of the IDT. In terms of governance structures, I have indicated earlier that on an annual basis, the IDT reviews and agrees on its shareholder compact with the executive authority, which is the Minister of Public Works. We present an agreement between the executive authority and the accounting authority of the entity with respect to performance expectation and parameters. The shareholder's compact is attached is Appendix 3. The Board of Trustees, you will be able to see a summary of the race and gender profile of the board, which is reflected on Table 7, and the resumes of the trustees are attached as Appendix 5. Executive Management, equally, there is a summary of the race and gender profile of the executive, and this is reflected in Table 8, and the resumes are also attached on Appendix 6. We have linked to this corporate plan, the financial plan of the IDT, the IDT's financial capacity, both current and in the future, and it is critical to allow to in allowing it to succeed in its endeavors. I'm saying that unless we are appropriately funded as an organization, as I indicated earlier, that the IDT had only been funded with the endowment of $2 billion in 1990, and in the last financial year, we were funded for 150 short-term funding bid, which we had put in and that was approved. Currently, we are working on the long-term sustainability of the organization, but we also want to factor in the medium-term so that in case we of timing issues, we are unable to get into the long-term timeously. The overall financial strategy is therefore to optimize our working capital requirements by curtailing overhead expenditure where possible and to accelerate revenue generation, mainly through cost recoveries from social infrastructure programs managed on behalf of government. This we have already started implementing even in the previous financial year, and we have seen very good results from this strategy. The corporate strategy requires the IDT to invest its own funds in meeting its mandate through community-mandated sustainable development and poverty eradication programs. Once more, I would refer honorable members to our 2010-30 strategy, which clearly articulates those principles that the board had put forward in as far as this is concerned. Given the depth of chronic poverty and evidence of the costs associated with community-driven based development, this strategic focus area will require a material and sustainable source of additional funding. And once more, we are saying to the portfolio committee, for us to really make meaningful difference with the communities that we work with, that is a cost that would require funding. Hence, we are working on the long-term sustainability of the organization to acquire those resources. We are saying whilst we can cost recover from the social infrastructure, the bridging of the development gap, the development interventions will require additional funding. The government has given the IDT $150 million, which I've already referred to, in as far as the budget shortfalls that we had, and as well as the transformation of the organization.
So, this time we need to wrap up.
Okay. Linking our corporate plan links to the risk management plan, the fraud prevention plan, the legislative compliance, the materiality and significance framework, the human resource plan, environmental plan, communication plan, information technology, and the sustainability framework and the knowledge management framework, which we can hyperlink if required. Honourable members, as I have said, we do have hyperlinks and details of the report that I have just presented. Maybe just to conclude with the performance monitoring and reporting process in terms of how we do that reporting is that on a quarterly basis, we've got quarterly unit performance reports, we have got quarterly corporate performance reports, we've got quarterly performance reports, and those are presented into the various structures like our EXCO, our MENCO, our board, and lastly, we submit to the portfolio committee. Maybe I can allow my chairperson to then close the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I would therefore honourably present to the portfolio committee with our 2011-12 to 2013-14 cycle of our corporate plan to Parliament for recommendation. Thanks a lot, ma'am.
Thank you, IDT. Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, especially those who came late, I welcome you to this meeting. We can now engage IDT. For the benefit of those who came late, behind you there's a concern group from Maningbeek. During the week, they came to the office with a sort of a memorandum with an allegation that the IDT funded an NGO in Maningbeek. And out of the money that was funded to the NGO, plus minus 50,000-60,000 rand were used for campaigning for an individual person, an independent councillor. Those are allegations. And for the good of this government, I said they should come to this committee for us to make a presentation to IDT, of which I did, and I said they were not going to participate in the discussion. So I just want to say, honourable members, that's why you see them there. I've made presentations. We'll give IDT a date for them to come and account, and also to bring with them the forensic investigation done by Press Waterhouse Coopers, of which they agreed is for us just to give them a date. So I would like to say to the Maningbeek concern group, IDT openly here in your presence indicated that for this year they did not fund Maningbeek NGO because of the reasons stated earlier on, and that's why that forensic audit was done, is that the NGO was not using the funded funds correctly. So we'll communicate with you after getting the report from IDT, and also as a portfolio committee, we'll look into your concerns and we'll come back to you. So you can, you're allowed to excuse yourself. Thank you very much. And back home in Manningbeek, just go and be cool. We'll attend to this matter. Thank you very much. Honourable members, over to you. All members, who will kickstart? Oh, Dr. Matlop?
No, thanks. I'm going to be in the public transport. I'm sorry, Chair, to be late. It's because of the transport. Our bus came late in the park. Chair, no, one would like to thank the presentation by the CEO. Although I came late, but I was trying to look at and understand some of the concepts and the presentation that has been put forward, and we are appreciate that they have the timelines now to say when are they going to deal with what when. But I want to check, the CEO talked about the organizational insecurity. If you can unpack that one, I don't understand, because you talk about lack of protected mandate creates insecurity and undermines institutional building as more focus is placed. Something, if you can try and unpack that one so that we can understand the meaning of that insecurity. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Mahabri. Are we done? Honorable Mbonyamabil.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity and thank the CEO for the presentation he made to the committee. Chair, number one, let me comment on the documents that are being circulated to the committee. I think we received many documents. We ended up being confused. And what is confusing mostly is to receive the document, the amended document in the meeting. So I think we need to deal with that matter so that when we receive the document as a committee, even during the presentation, we stick to that document. Because now I've got many copies of IDT. You read this tomorrow, you get the other one the other day. You know, there are many documents from ASA, many documents from CBE, you know, all these times. Now I'm in Singapore Paramedicine. So Benin is confusing us. I think you have to intervene and assist us.
Thank you, Ngwenya Mabila. I'll look into that. Mama November.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I also want to sing the song that has been already sung to say that really we appreciate the presentation. And first of all, I need to apologize for being late. But it's not actually a question. It's about a case study, Chairperson, that I would ask if we can and go to Ngobo. I didn't know there was a Slindini in Ngobo. I only knew the one in Stagsbridge, to go and see this case study, whether it is like that or not. Because many a time things are very much pretty on paper, but when we came to the reality, we'll find that really as funny as it is in Babesinjana. So I'm not saying, I'm also not suggesting that IDT has not done this case study that has been mentioned in the other document of Silindini, but it would have been nice. Because I think last year or so, we also went to the Eastern Cape as this committee. There were some schools, My interest would be, are they finished school, a school that has been built, you know, in one of the villages? Is it already in use for this year, or how far are they? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Baba Maguvani, mat schools.
Okay, I'm going to start by thanking the CEO. Her presentation was very good. Mat schools, as you say. Well, I must thank the IDT, because I've seen some of the new schools that are coming up. They are very good. Yes, very good. And I would want them to keep it up. Make it sure that they are building good schools, because our children will see to it that they get the better education in those schools. Well, going to poverty alleviation funds that they have been talking about. These funds are not visible. In municipalities, I think you give these monies to the municipalities and they are not visible. The municipalities are failing to provide these funds to the people who are supposed, these funds to are supposed to go to. I think you need to have monitors who are going to monitor these funds. But those monitors must be monitored as to whether are they doing the good job. Because you will find that when they go to the municipalities, those people, those crooks in the municipalities will say to them, hey, forget about monitoring, let's eat this money. So see to it that these funds are being monitored properly, because you are trying to help the poor and the money doesn't go straight to them. Thank you.
Mama Kuban, let me correct the word crooks. We better say unreliable.
Yeah.
Those unreliable people, not crooks.
Can I say something? Yeah.
Are we Baba's turn?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to thank the CEO, as all members have been said. But my concern, Chair, is that according to their statement, they say they are very open and honest in communication. But if you can go to different municipalities, there's some indication that they are not consulting them when they are doing these sanitation set programs. They just come with their workers without consulting the municipality. Sometimes there's a lot of programs that have been delayed because of that lack of communication. So if they can clarify that.
Follow up, Wanyamabila.
Thank you, Chairperson. The CEO mentioned something about the 150 million. That they got from government to deal with the challenge of the deficit that they are having. Maybe if we can be told what was it, although we understand that it was for the deficit, then if it can be unpacked further, what was it for? Deficit on what? Then the other one, Chair, can we just get an indication from IDT? The president has indicated that this is the year of job creation. Can we just get an indication on the staff establishment of the IDT? According to your organogram, how many vacancies do you have? How many vacancies are you planning to fill in this financial year? Then, when looking at your budget, you budgeted 4.5 million for transformation costs. Can that be clarified? What is it for? Transformation is just broad. What is this money going to be used for? Then the other one is that
The CEO mentioned that they've got some financial constraints as IDT. But can we get an indication on your spending trend in the last financial year? How much was budgeted for IDT? Then how did you spend that money? Then when looking also in your document, your presentation, you mentioned the challenges that you're experiencing as IDT that will hinder IDT from executing its mandate effectively. Can I check whether the department is aware of the challenges that has been identified in the presentation? If there's anyone from the department, just to assist us. And also, if they are aware, what is it that they've done to deal with those challenges? Because IDT, in other words, is a baby of the Department of Public Works. So if they've got challenges, I think Public Works must intervene and assist them where it's necessary. Then, on the governance issue, the members of the board, are they able to sit as expected? What challenges do they have? And also, if they can tell us about their success stories. Thank you, Chairperson.
Before Honorable Mabila, I want to continue where he stopped. In the last meeting of the 22nd of March this year, I did ask IDT a question to say, is IDT not viewing itself as an extension of government? And the response was, yes, they view themselves as an extension of government. Because when IDT was established in 1990, you initially got 2 billion from the government. And the issue that Gwanyamabila is raising is that IDT cannot raise the issue of them not having enough resources. Meanwhile, as a committee, we raised the issue of their packages. To say their packages to us as a committee are not satisfactory, and of which you won't mention here, won't repeat, because we did raise the issue of their salaries. And IDT need, in their report that I requested, Gwanyamabila, answer those questions that were raised on the 22nd of March, of which the members are still raising, and we need to deal with it because it's a concern to us as a committee that we cannot allow IDT to continue. I accept if IDT, like they are suggesting, they want to transform the agency into whatever, we don't know. That as a committee will really want to know, to say what is a intention, how far are you? I'm just expanding on what Gwanyamabila has just raised. Dr. Matlope.
Chair, I think I'm partly covered by my colleague here. In fact, one was of the view that one is going to get a comparison to say that, like, these are our achievements for previous year, these are the challenges. So that when we deal with it, we do a comparison, because when you come up with a strategy, 2011, 2012, you must know exactly what was outstanding and the challenges thereof. and also the issue of the job creation, as my colleague was raising it. Job creation, maybe you say this is like a poverty intervention. You know that these are so many jobs that we have created in the EPW, like poverty intervention. These are the decent jobs, including the vacancies from the institutions that are outstanding. The yeah, and also the issue of the there was once a bad story that appeared in Eastern Cape around the issue of the mud schools. You know, principal sitting in a toilet. Maybe we're of the view that. We're of the view that maybe we'll be updated on those particular areas, whether it has been attended to or not. I think we raised it to say that they were indicating like 300 and something schools. Yeah, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Rabo. Dabi.
Thank you, Chair.
Followed by Mama Madlan.
I think partly my question has been taken in the process, because it was also related to mud schools, because I think the Eastern Cape is one province with most mud schools. And I just wanted to know what plan does the IDT have to eradicate or, you know, to arrest that problem in the Eastern Cape? Because I think it's one province in South Africa with the most mud schools. And you just ask yourself, what is happening now that is winter with those poor kids when it is snowing there?
Mama Madlan.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question is just a small one on the infrastructure delivered in their annual performance plan. I see that there's a breakdown of number of classrooms built, facilities, number of women contractors, job created. But what I'm asking from IDT is that even if it's not today, if they can send us the breakdown, where are these classrooms built, and these women contractors, where are they found? Also the jobs created, if they can give us a breakdown, so that we can be able to do our oversight, so that we can visit such areas or people and see whether it's there or not. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mama. And that I'm good.
Yeah. Thanks, Chairperson. I think partly my colleagues raised this question, but I did not hear them in depth, you know. Mine would be going in depth about them. Your major inhibitors, CEO. My question would be, is this inhibitors for this financial year or previous financial year, or this has been a recurrence kind of a situation? And if it has been happening all along every year, how were you attending to them or intending to, how did you try to address them? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Mama, you have got 12 minutes to respond to all these questions. Please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and to the members. Let me quickly deal with the governance one and then extend it to the issue raised by the Honorable Members and the Chair in terms of the outstanding matters that we are definitely looking forward to a date. We are ready, would like to come back and unpack those other issues.
The date will be the 7th of June.
Thank you. At least we have it. Thanks, we appreciate that. There was a question from the Honorable Member that was asking on the governance issues pertaining to the board, and the question was specifically to say what our successes are we meeting, what are the challenges of the board. Let me say with confidence, if the Honorable Committee will allow us to say, we've never had a situation where the board hasn't met because of correct matters. we have been successful. Board members have been attending. We have had robust debates on matters, and I want to believe that we're providing the necessary oversight function to the organization as is expected, and even the Auditor General's report would indicate the role that we're playing. One of the major challenges, as has been asked this morning, is a challenge that would be a subject of debate when we talk about the recapitalization of the ITT. As we sit here as board members, one of the things that we are concerned about, other than service delivery, making sure that services are delivered and management carries out its function, is the sustainability of the ITT. That never moves from the radar of the board. It's one of the major things that is challenging us. I thought the deputy chair would speak to the successes, because it would be easy for me as chair to rant and rave, but I thought somebody else would be in a better position to speak to that. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I won't be exhaustive in terms of discussing that. One of them, if you talk about a board, the board is responsible for the governance and the fiduciary responsibilities for the organization. We have already indicated about the issue of the audit reports. We've had, on successive years, we've had audits that are clean from the Auditor General for the IDT. And in terms of the sustainability issues, you can look at 1990 and look at 2011 now. That's 21 years. And if you expect an organization to be delivering on infrastructure for that period and having to survive without eroding the capital that was given in 1990, 21 years for an organization like the IDT, which is non-profit organization, is quite a long time. So the time has come to relook the sustainability of the IDT. And the board took that responsibility and that task with both hands and ensured that the executive authority is informed about it. And we presented various proposals on how to deal with that. So the board has really taken its responsibility in dealing with that. The chairperson has constant meetings with stakeholders, even without the rest of the board, constantly looking at stakeholders, including management, making sure that management is delivering on the mandate that we have given them. Every year we have submitted our reports. Every year we have submitted our strategic plan. There is no year that we can say there's an MTF period that is not covered by the IDT. And I will stop there. I don't want to be exhaustive on the matters. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Over to the system.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got my colleagues who are going to assist me in responding to some of the issues. But just to start with where my Deputy Chairperson has ended in terms of the 2 billion rand, to indicate two major contributors to the erosion of that capital base. One was the interest rate reduction, which is an element that is beyond the control of the IDT. As interest rates drop, the interest that the IDT was surviving from also drops, which means it is not at the level that it would have been expected to do, and that is determined by the Reserve Bank. The second one is the growth of portfolio. As you would realize that the IDT portfolio has been growing. We are currently implementing or spending plus minus 2 billion rand per annum, and that requires more overhead to be able to meet that, and that has been in line with the requirements and the priorities of the medium-term framework program. The continuation of math schools in the Eastern Cape, I didn't get it very well, the principals in the toilet, but I think my colleagues maybe got it. They might be able to respond to that. But just to take honorable members back to say, I did indicate in my presentation that we are sanctioned by government, and that is what our mandate says, that government will give us programs to implement, and they will then give us a budget that we will implement against that. So the scale of our operation is not necessarily determined by ourselves, but it is determined by the budget that we get and as well as the sanction that we have got from the departments that we implement for. There are a few questions that relate to whether what we are presenting now is a report or it is a focus of what we will be implementing. And maybe just to say that we were not reporting on what we have done, but we are reporting on what we are still going to achieve. And we are still going to come back to the portfolio committee to report on our current deliverables after the audit, after we have been audited, so that that information that we give to yourself would be audited information. At the moment, as you all know, the Auditor General is going through the audit process, and therefore what we are presenting here is what we are going to be implementing, not what we have implemented. And I'm not sure whether members would want us to give them that information before it is audited. The issue of the inhibitors, whether they have been reported to the department and what has been done about that. Yes, honorable members, as we said, we have a shareholder compact which requires that on a quarterly basis we report to the shareholder in terms of our enablers, our inhibitors, and the corrective action that we have employed. There are quite a number of interventions that we have put forward, including the initiation of the business case that we are involved with now, including the short-term funding of the IDT and the long-term sustainability of the IDT. So there has been some corrective action that has been taken against that. The financial analysis of the past year, as I have said, at the moment we are only reporting about what we are going to do. The budget for the transformation, we will definitely go through that quickly. My CFO will do that. The year of creation of jobs, at the moment, we are mainly focusing externally in terms of job creation. I've also indicated that we also have a cost-saving strategy, which says that we might not necessarily fill the full staff establishment. So each and every post that we vacate, we review that post and check whether it is necessary for us to fill up that post. So our job creation strategy is more externally focused rather than internally focused. The 150 funding, we will definitely unpack that as well as we move along. The poverty alleviation funds not visible at municipal level. Honourable Member, you are very right, as we have said, that the funding process, government has allocated funding, but the mechanism for pooling the funding is what is not there. And we're saying part of the strategy that we're presenting to yourself is to create that mechanism so that there could be that redistribution between what is available and what is not available at community level. But just to correct the fact that we don't fund municipalities directly. When we interact with municipalities, we interact from an institutional capacity point of view, that is getting into the municipalities and assisting them with their institutional capacity in terms of their processes, their systems, and enabling them to have the plans that can get the MIG funds into that. So we don't fund directly into municipalities, but we work with municipalities from a capacity a point of view. Thank you for the compliment on the math schools. We're also quite happy with the work that we are doing there. Yes, the case study on Ngobo in Silindini, honorable members are very much welcome to visit that particular project. The documents, my colleague, if you could just talk to that, because I'm not sure the confusion on documents. I thought the documents were sequential as we were sending that. The organizational insecurity that I referred to, mainly I'm referring to the issues of change, as I have said. When the organization started eroding its capital base, there has been a lot of insecurity in as far as that is concerned. I've already indicated, and the chairperson of the committee has indicated, that we'll be given a day to come and present the long-term sustainability of the organization. I feel at the moment I will not be able to do justice, because you need to be able to understand the whole context of that insecurity when we started that, which was in 2006 when we registered that with the executive authority. To date, we're still in a process of pursuing that process. And my colleagues can respond to the sanitation program.
I will do the occupancy for last year was 95%. So I think we're doing quite well in terms of vacancies. I think the question was, were vacancies, and the comment by the honourable member about how we have performed the previous year. I think our corporate business plan refers to baseline.
Can we allow it to finish?
No. Can we request that not percentage, the actual, to be the specific numbers?
Okay. I can.
In the meantime, whilst my colleague is looking for the numbers, there were two questions raised by honorable members on the math schools. Thank you. One question was, what is the IDT plan regarding the eradication of math schools? It's a big question. We've been here a few times, and the question has arisen because of the importance of it and the fact that it is indeed a highly concerning matter, especially if one looks at the few flighted programs on television, in said instances, offices being in shacks, or in one instance in some unused toilet. The IDT is actually providing support to government in this regard. The lead department or department in this area is actually the Department of Education in various provinces. On an annual basis, Treasury allocates funding for school infrastructure to the provincial departments of education. In the various provinces, IDT approaches these departments and offer its services to support them in the eradication of math schools. In a number of these provinces, we have indeed been engaged. If the province, for example, like the Eastern Cape, had 400 million, I'm mentioning that figure as an example, for intervention in schools, they would, for example, engage IDT to support them, say, 400 million in eradicating math schools. So in a sense, we have a perspective, not a full picture, because the departments drive this program. Recently, the National Department of Education has been allocated 8.2 billion over the MTF 2012, 2013, and 2014. We made to understand that only 700 million of that is allocated to the current financial year, 2012. And this is a boost to the provincial allocations in this regard. We are made to understand that the allocation to the National Department of Education is not just for math schools, but it is for the entire school's infrastructure, including basic services, as well as electricity. We are in talks with them. We hope that we will conclude an arrangement where we can provide them support services in this regard. On an annual basis, if one takes total of the figure that we would be engaged by the various provincial departments, both education and public works, in this program, IDT would be supporting in around 1 billion in schools program, but supporting various departments. So to the extent that our contribution is influenced by what we allocated by the government departments, yes, we've got at least in this current financial year, 2011-12, which plan we're presenting to the committee, around 1 billion which we will be spending in schools in support of the provincial departments. The last question related to math schools was whether the problems that were widely reported in Eastern Cape have been resolved. Largely, yes. The Department of Education, I think we maybe somehow need to say thanks to the media, because it does keep government and it on its toes. The Department of Education did intervene. They rolled out an immediate program for provision of prefab structures in those schools which were in dire need. And for some of those programs, IDT has been engaged to support the Department of Education. The money issue remains a problem. I think what we had reported earlier on, particularly in the Eastern Cape, was that there were some transfers which were outstanding from the Eastern Cape Department of Education to ourselves. Those have since been resolved. But the challenge with this matter is that it is a continuous matter. Every year at the beginning of the financial year, we often have a two-month delay in the flow of funding from the various government departments that we support to ourselves. So we would have April and May being a dull period, a very, very painful period for service providers, because funds wouldn't flow, and we start to see them flowing at the beginning of June. So that's currently what we are constrained with in many other provinces, including the Eastern Cape. But that earlier problem with where we had a specific outstanding resources from the Eastern Cape was resolved. Thank you.
At the end of April, we had 366 staff members against the staff establishment of 376, so it was a vacancy of 10 people. In terms of the Honourable Member's question, to compare the current year target with the previous year, the corporate plan does have a column where it provides for baselines, and the baseline indicates what our achievements were the previous year. The other comment I will respond to is the issue of different sets of documents. I'm sorry if that is the experience of the Honourable Member, but we have not changed the documents that we sent to the Secretariat, I think it was on Tuesday or Monday, to what we are bringing this morning. So I'm not sure where the confusion came in.
The one question related to sanitation and the IDT engagement of the various municipalities. This has indeed been an area of challenge. We have a protocol where in the municipalities that we work with, the client department, the Department of Human Settlement, in terms of the agreed protocol between them and us, has to introduce us into these municipalities before we can start to do work. I think because of the various commitments, this process does not always work well in terms of those engagements being done on time. And indeed, some of those sentiments may be the case, but this is the matter that we're working with the department to resolve. Thank you. Generally, our processes are community-driven. In whatever community we do projects, the first point of call is the community. If we're building a school, the first thing we do is to establish a committee, which would include the governing body and some of the community structures. So there's not a single program where we would do without knocking with the relevant social or community stakeholders. If we're doing a program at a municipal level, the first point of call we would do is to call it the municipality. But thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, do you still want to make your follow-up finance part?
Honourable Chair, if
I think we are behind time, but we need to round up. You can come in.
Honourable Chair, thank you. If I can just deal with three issues very briefly. Firstly, with the reference to the 150 million funding that was made available. At the end of March 2011, IDT, by virtue of the fact that the revenue, and particularly investment revenue, had declined, as the CEO has mentioned, and had not at this stage fully been replaced by the revenue from management fees being generated, there was the risk that the IDT would receive a going concern qualification from the Auditor General. It was also necessary to have that certainty that IDT would have the funding available to continue through into the new financial year, the 2012-13 financial year. Part of the 150 million was set aside, and it is disclosed in the booklet itself, for transformation costs. Service providers have been appointed, and there is a brief description or details of how those funds will be utilized. They form part of the 150 million. The remainder of that 150 would be to continue to support the overhead operational costs. Chair, the third issue would be the question was asked with regard to budget versus actual in the last year. The Appendix 1A, which is attached in the documents, identifies a column that reflects preliminary numbers for 2010-2011. Those are the most recent figures that we have at the time that the document was put together. That indicates that actual expenditure was slightly below the budget that had been approved for the year. We're talking within 4 to 5% of the budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ntate Maguban. Baba Maguban.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to do a follow-up on the issue of the mud schools. I wanted to know the figures as to how many mud schools in the Eastern Cape they are dealing with, and as well as in the Sisonke district, how many mud schools are you dealing with?
Wanyamabila? Chair, on the issue of, I wanted to make a follow-up on the issue of the post-establishment. I think the response, according to my understanding, IDT has got 10 vacancies based on the numbers that they've given us now. But can they link that with what is in page 58 of 84? In this document, the corporate plan for 2011-2014. So that we move with the same understanding. And also, if we can just get some specifics on the responses that have been provided to us now on the 150 million, because they're saying the service provider has been appointed, but they're not giving us the figures. They're saying part of the amount will be used for that, then the balance will be used for the overhead operational cost. Can they give us the breakdown so that we understand exactly what amount will be used for whatever activity that they're planning? Over to you, IDT.
Honourable Chair, if I can respond to that last question on the 150 million. Within the document itself, there are details of, under the heading Estimate of the Cost of Transformation. I'm afraid I don't have the page number immediately in front of me. But the detail that is given there identifies 40.5 million of the 150 being used for the transformation directly. The issues that are raised there are that they would be in respect of fees, and they refer to the delivery of a number of work streams that have been identified. Those work streams include strategy, structure and service design, change management and human capital and relations, legal and governance sustainability, finance and risk analysis, and knowledge and business systems. That portion of the 150 would therefore be spent specifically on the identification of the needs of the new IDT, as it were. The remaining 110 odd million would be used to finance operational costs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are we done with the questions? Yeah.
The number in the corporate plan and the document chair was the staff establishment at the 30th of September, because I think that is the time at which we were concluding the draft, and the total staff number at that time was 383, and I think I said our staff establishment at the end of the, I'm on page 82 of the document, but I think when we come back we can give that detail. And I've indicated our staff establishment at the end of March was 386, and I think CEO has explained that if a vacancy arises, we freeze the post. And
can I say something? Yeah, you know, IDT, you have identified the following performance indicators for 2011-2012. And you said the entity has 390 positions, of which 380 are filled. The 10 vacant positions are between grades 4 to 12. And you said you are intending filling them urgently as a priority position. That's what you said earlier on, in the last meeting. And also, I would like to say something before closing this meeting, that you have identified an estimated 2.2 billion that will spend on social infrastructure for 2011-2012, and this will increase to 2.4 billion in 2012-2013, and increase to 2.5 billion in 2013-2014. You also intend to contribute 775,000 jobs or job opportunities to assist with poverty alleviation efforts in 2011-2012. This number will increase to 83,000 in 2012-2013 and 86,000 in 2013-2014. You also estimated 75 women contractors will have their skills developed in 2011-2012 to aid the development of women contractors. This will increase by 90 in 2012-2013 and 110 in 2013-2014. And also that the number of households impacted in terms of skills development and poverty alleviation is estimated as 130,000 for 2011-2012, 150,000 in 2012-2013, and 170,000 in 2013-2014. Those are the issues that you, yes, and we agree that this is what you are saying you will achieve by the end of 2011-2012-2013-2014 up to 2014. Thank you very much. Can you respond to clarify? And you know, we are eating in CBC's time. Can you round up, please? But we need more time with your IDT. Please, on the 7th of July, the four issues that we raised must be dealt with it and be closed. Thank you. Can you round up and close? There was a question raised by Wanyamavila, of which... And that the figures that you always give us different figures, and we're not satisfied with that. The figures in the last meeting you'll give us, next meeting you change your figures, and it's not correct.
Chairperson, the question raised on the MAT schools. Chair, when we present our performance report, which is looking at what we have done where, I think we can provide that information. Currently, because we are at the beginning of the financial year, we're at the process where clients allocate to us the budgets, and some of them have not even determined where some of these schools are. But when we present, we will be able to say in the financial year ended 2010-11, this is what we had done, and this is where we had done. So we'll be able to provide that information. Chair, I think my colleague wants to comment on some of your earlier remarks regarding the figures.
The MAT schools, you know, in the last meeting of the 22nd of March,
you indicated to this committee, that's why members are asking this question, that we have identified 2,350 mud and unsafe schools and that your target will be 2014. That's why we are questioning about this, because that's the information that you gave us.
So I'm glad you raised it, because now I now know where the information gap. Chair, we made a presentation, and on our presentation we were saying that a new program has been launched by the National Department of Education. And we were saying, according to that program, they had set out, it's called ACID program, Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Delivery Program. We said, according to that program, that was the targets that they have. And we also indicated that the allocation of $8.2 billion to the National Department of Education is based on the motivation that they made based on that program. It is that same presentation where we indicated that there were about 395 schools, I think, identified as MUD schools in the Eastern Cape. So we were bringing information to the committee about the various activities that the various government departments are doing in the area of MUD schools. But us as the organization, we remain, our intervention remains driven by the quantum of resources we secure from client departments when we are appointed to support them. So this is not a domain that we can talk for the government in. We can talk with regards to our intervention in this area. So there's a lot of information we provide, Chairperson. So sometimes we also seek to bring in general information in an area which is not always reflective of specifically that which we do as an organization. But it was an effort to empower the committee.
Dr. Madlopati, you're the last one.
No, it's our request, Chair, that we consolidate these figures, because as you are correctly indicating, it shows 390 positions, of which 380 has been filled. And then when you look at page 58, it talks about something else. And then the verbal response also talks different to these figures. So we are having three figures. If they can just come up with one figure so that we understand what is going on. But what is common is only 10 vacancies that is common in all.
Thank you. Just to make sure that we reconcile fully our numbers. Some of the numbers you were mentioning, my suspicion was that there were few which were not reconciling with the corporate plan I have. You seem to be reading from a summarized report. I just wanted to clarify that that you were indeed drawing them. Okay.
Excuse me, Chair, to speak on your behalf, because he's eating time. The Chair was confirming that that which we have put in here is what we are saying we are going to deliver. All the Chair, my understanding of the Chair was for us to say, yes, Chair, what we have here is what we're saying to the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Committee is what we will deliver. This is what I understood. Correct me, ma'am.
100% correct. Yeah, so I wanted to put it on record to say this is what you are saying to us. Thank you very much. IDT, thank you very much for your presentation and for your coming and for your understanding. See, now we are representing the people of South Africa, and we want to be clarified on behalf of the people of this country. So this is what we are doing, the oversight, hoping that we meet on the 7th and we close the chapter. Thank you very much. 7th June, yes, that's what I said, yeah. Thank you very much.
to learn in the film.
Thank you.